First and foremost, I just want to thank all of our listeners that came back, and thanks to our new listeners. I was really shocked at how many listens we already had to our first podcast as our first sample run. We're trying to figure out, we want to talk about everything. And so we will. We just got to break it up in episodes, try to figure out what we want to talk about, and hopefully you want to listen to it. We almost should have called ourselves the Ramblin' Pots. Right, Sam? I'll say that quite a bit. Right, Sam? Can't wait till this COVID is over with, and soon, actually, hopefully in the next week or so, me and Sam can actually get in the studio, get hooked up, and maybe do a YouTube or something. Do this live, we're in the same room. So anyways, I'll turn this over to Sam, and let's get this episode rolling.
Yes, it's going to take a little while for this format to get straightened out. I would normally like to say Manowabin right here, even though I know people probably don't listen in the morning. But it's not morning where I'm recording it, so technically it's not Wabin. However, we push on. So what are we going to talk about today, Josh?
Hey Sam, I know you're saying you've been talking about me doing all that shilling for these ads, and I'm the voice that's always talking about subscriptions and everything else, but Sam, it's not easy being that golden goose. That's the fun thing about being on Twitter is you get to see what's trending, and right now golden goose is trending because Trump called himself the golden goose, and that's why ratings are dropping for Fox News. They lost their golden goose. So Sam, I guess if we ever lost you, we'd lose our golden goose.
Yep, they say at the end of the rainbow is a pot of gold, and I suppose that could be a golden pot of water, you know? I always felt more like the golden goose from the Austin Powers series, the guy that he plays in the last one. That guy's more like me. That's my Midas touch.
Sam, I got some good responses. Everybody enjoyed your the dog story about the dog finding his tail. So I wanted to kind of keep that going to start off this episode. So this one is called How the Dogs Came to the Indians, right? Two Indians in a canoe had been blown far from shore by a great wind. They had gone far and were hungry and lost. They had little strength left to paddle, so they drifted before the wind. At last, their canoe was blown onto a beach, and they were glad, but not for long. Looking for the tracks of animals, they saw some huge footprints which they knew must be those of a giant. They were afraid and hid in the bushes. As they crouched low, a big arrow thudded into the ground close beside them. Then a huge giant came towards them. A caribou hung from his belt, but this man was so big that it looked like a rabbit. He told them that he did not hurt people, and he liked to be a friend to little people, who seemed to the giant to be so helpless. He asked the two lost Indians to come home with them, since they had no food and their weapons had been lost in the storm at sea. They were glad to go with them. And soon, an evil Wendigo spirit came to the lodge of the giant and told the two men that the giant had other men hidden away in the forest because he likes to eat them. The Wendigo pretended to be their friend, but really, he was one who wanted the men because he was the eater of people. The Wendigo became very angry when the giant would not give him the two men, and finally, the giant became angry too. He took a big stick and turned over a big bowl with it, and a strange animal which the Indians had never seen before laid on the floor looking up at them. It looked like a wolf to them. But the giant called the animal dog, and the giant told him to go kill the evil Wendigo spirit. The beast sprang to his feet, shook himself, and started to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. The more he shook himself, the more he grew, and the fiercer he became. He opened his mouth, showed his teeth, he sprang at the Wendigo and killed him. But then the dog started to grow small and small and small and crept back underneath the giant's bowl. The giant saw that the Indians were much surprised and pleased with the dog, and he said he'd give it to him, even though it was his pet. He told the men that he'd command dog to take them home. The Indians did not know how this could be done, though they had seen the giant was a maker of magic. They thanked the friendly giant for the gift. The giant took the men and the dog to the seashore and gave the dog a command. At once it began to grow bigger and bigger and bigger until it was as big as a horse. And the giant put the two men on the back of the dog and told them to hold on very tightly. As the dog ran to sea, it grew bigger and bigger. It grew as big as a whale, and it was so deep it swam strongly from the shore, right? After a very long time, the two Indians saw a part of the seacoast which they knew, and soon the dog headed for the shore. See, near the beach, it became smaller and smaller, and it got to a point where the Indians swam the last part of the journey. The dog left them close to their lodges and disappeared in the forest. And when the men told the tribe of the adventure, the people thought they were lying. Show us this little mystery animal, dog, and we shall believe you, said the chief. A few moons came and went, and those two Indians were being ridiculed. Then one morning while the tribe slept, the dog came back to the two men. It allowed them to pet it and took food from their hands. And the tribe was very much surprised to see this new creature. Everyone, you know, was like, oh, they're telling the truth. And the dog saw this and saw happy that the men were with them, that stayed with the tribe. And this is how the first dog came to Earth. I've noticed that there's a lot, tribes are doing a lot of different things with COVID money. Some are sending out as a, not as a per cap, but as a distribution to all of its members. I guess it depends on the size of your tribe, right? I noticed a couple are building facilities with it to help fight COVID. There's just so many different things to do, and I think the worst thing any tribe could do right now is to return the money back, right? The federal government gives you money. You need to spend it and not be selfish with it. And it shouldn't be, I mean, everyone has suffered, has been affected by COVID-19. And I noticed, especially for our tribe, a lot of people are saying, are like thanking the tribe for giving the money, but I really wish the tribe would develop a program, because what happens when the COVID money's gone, right? What are we going to do? People will still need money. I mean, unless the COVID just completely disappears. Right now, I'm reading today, it's Veterans Day, in Tulsa County, is all their ICU beds are full. Oklahoma City, all the ICU beds are full. And, you know, if you go to the hospital, you're going to get turned away. And that's definitely going to have ripple effects on the economy. So I just hope that there's really some long-term strategic planning. You know, the ones that will survive, that's what they have. Because, I mean, I know we got a new president, and hopefully we get to keep the money, but there's never no guarantee, especially a federal government. You know, you can't trust the federal government.
Sovereignty is a, we fight for sovereignty, and we live in a state where as much as it's the five tribes and the other 42 of us, right? The governor, who's even Native, or claims to be Native, is so anti-Native, it's ridiculous. So, I think just be careful and just do a lot of, wishful thinking. I know Sam could drop some explicitives. I've heard him about the COVID money. And there's got to be a better way to outreach, to find the people, because a lot of people don't know their tribe even has COVID programs just because they've been out of reach of their tribe, because their tribe's been out of reach with them. Sam, I'm going to throw this gummy to you right now. What are your thoughts about tribes and COVID-19 money? Do you think they should just, if your tribe gave you $100 million, do you think it'd be better off to give each person money? Think it'd be better to do programming, build something long-term strategic. What are your thoughts on this, man?
Oh, okay, the COVID question. I can probably talk for a while on this one. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I've been pretty quiet on everything about the COVID deal. I do think that that's a good question and worth discussing. I want to make sure that I have my suggestion or how I have or what I have to say about it in order. I don't want to just do that off the top of my head, but I do think that that's an important topic, and we'll discuss that.
Sam, when have you ever not had something to say? Yeah, go ahead and just spill the beans here, as I like to say. But seriously, for this episode, just go ahead and just usually your thoughts off the freeform are the best way to go. So, your thoughts on COVID, let's get it going.
Oh, there's just so many issues within issues here. They got don't forget about the secret issues they're not really secrets, they're just hidden from a certain number of the population. But what you asked was how I thought that the money should be used by the tribes, whether it should be divided, structured kind of like a per cap basis, or if it was used as an investment for the future. I like the seed corn deal. You know, that's an example we easily understand is the seed corn deal. Well, I would be all for the seed corn deal if the one that we've been paying into for, almost 40 years had benefited individually as well as a collective, a community. As I see it, it really didn't benefit there. I don't even know if we've ever even seen any statistics on how our investment is performing. And if they do, then I'm sure it's like thrown at you like an old dirty plate of dog food. And upset that I even would want to see it. But the thing is if the tribe would offer a direction with, like, if they got this money, if they got, say, they had enough to give everybody $1,000, and they would rather just, you know, keep some of it because, you know, they make a little insurance off of, or a little investment at the bank off of it,
Yeah, in case you didn't know, we were talking about the investment. Sorry to interrupt you, Sam. So we have our own bank, and that's where we put the money at. So the longer we hold the money, which is the federal money, not our money, the more interest we'll make, and hopefully we'll be doing something with this interest. Sorry, Sam. Go back on, man.
The people ain't used to getting any money anyway. They won't be too mad.
Here I go again. You're definitely right, Sam. If you're not used to getting money, you never got no money, then how will we know? I mean, right? But now we're all getting money, so that's what I was getting about earlier. We got to have long-term strategic planning, because when spring rolls around and if everything's still being all epidemic-y, where's the money?
I just feel like that the tribe could probably, to get a better return on their investment, since that seems to be like what some leaders are into, is getting a return on the investment, then they could give some direction as far as this is what we're going to open up, like a technology center. I think, and I've been saying this for a few years now, that all native North Americans, need to aggressively lobby to be the, you know, at least part, inherently part owners of the North American health system. Because everyone that's lived here in known history on this continent, if they came from here, if their ancestors came from here, they do a pretty good job with health and wellness. They can take care of other people too. And everybody that hasn't been from here, everybody that's, you know, not from here, they do a terrible job with it. They do a terrible job. They take flowers and crush them up, and then they put some petroleum-based substances in there, some other stuff that's not good for you, If so, that way it forms up and makes a nice little pill that now you can just swallow, or maybe you can't swallow. You need to mash it up and eat it with something else.
In this hand I got the red pill. This hand I got the blue pill.
You could have just eaten a few flower leaves. It's just absurd. Like, plus you have to work your job. You have to pay like a fifth of your paycheck just to be able to get the insurance so you can afford this medicine that used to grow over there in so-and-so's backyard. It's absurd at this point. And that's also the way I feel about the, you know, the monies, this COVID money. It's Corona's money. It's all Corona's. But they don't like us calling it that. But the last thing I want to see are citizens of a sovereign nation within another nation that have, you know, they're starving. They're starving because they were pretty much living paycheck to paycheck, if anything, before this pandemic happened. And so now they have to go beg their government people to go beg the bigger government for a little bit more. And then they say, oh, well, we'll do it responsibly. We'll only give them each this much. And, you know, because the government, the big government, they don't want that little government wasting money because then they might get ahead. The problem is the money. It's the money. And if we don't acknowledge that the people who've made all their fortune, their vast fortune, off of interest, they have not created anything for society. All they did was cause money to lose value. And money is nothing, but your labor is, your hours of labor to get that money, that's something to every one of us. And these people that have made their money off interest, well, I loaned you $100, It's only right that you give me a little bit extra. I don't know what they're thinking except exposing themselves as bad businessmen, because now they've just devalued the very dollar that you're trying to give them back. You can tell it's some sort of scam. People will say, oh, it's conspiracy. But that doesn't really hurt my feelings. It is a conspiracy.
Yeah, it's all Corona's money, and, you know, they don't like us calling it Corona. I'm just jumping right in here, because Corona is a generic word for so many different viruses. So, we've all could have Corona, but we may not have the COVID-19. But, I mean, it's still going crazy. So, mask up.
But as specifically for that question, would I like to see the tribe divide the money up among the people, or keep it collected and do another seed corn like investment? If we do another seed corn investment, it needs to have some either annually or biannual options for the voters to decide on things as individuals. I just feel like they've made no decisions about things for so long, they just are out of touch with some of the decisions that the tribe has to make to run as a business. And then if they were, then they might be able to start lobbying for things like having the tribes take over the health industry. Because now they recognize that it's not about their past. You know, being a member of Native Nation isn't about the past. It's always good to honor your past, but it's about the now. It's about who we are now. And if we're always looking forward to the future, you know, oh, down the road I'll get a check and then I'll be a real Indian, which I never understood where that philosophy came from. I don't know a lot of real Indians that get a check.
And if you want to, if our listeners want to support the mission, I guess, of Sam and myself, feel free to go to our webpage. It's anchor.fm /MNO-NIKAN. You can find us on Spotify or whatever helps support us. Just go to our webpage, click support, and a couple options will pop up. You know, it's amazing how far 99 cents will go to two guys like us, right? So, hopefully right now we're actually trying to get money, do some traveling, because I really want to go up north and, you know, really get some good stuff going. So, thank you in advance, Miigwech. All right, back to the show.
I guess I better mention, since I'm making all these crazy comments, that what I'm talking about as far as with the money and with the ability to provide, there's a concept that it's probably more commonly known as Ubuntu, but someone has sort of made an economic package out of it, and it's called contributionism. It would work as a small community until it spreads out. Once the communities work their way together. And the way I see it is that this would be perfect for tribes who do have populations here and there. You know, like we do. We have populations in other states. And that way, like, we could do it here and they could do it there. We could help each other with the long-distance resources until we get it down and the other people around us want to do it. Because I think this country, it's got two choices, every one of us that are here. We have two choices. We can continue to pretend that half of the leadership has our interests at heart, or we can continue to, you know, say that we like our half because they make another half of the American citizens suffer. Or we can make a move. We can make a move, and a lot of the older Kiowa guys that would teach classes over in Anadarko, they would use this phrase, you know, when we were talking about leadership. They would always say, well, you know, back in the old day, what we do whenever a leader showed us that he had his own interests in mind above the people was in the middle of the night, they would just take down their teepees and move them across the river. So that when he woke up and went outside, he would see that his people were not with him anymore. And he had to drag his over there on that side all by himself to make him remember who he's the leader of.
One of my favorite things to read is the Michelle Miss Sam. And right now, I'm actually kind of in the same grandfather as a little boy. Just because I'm raising kids of my own, and there's a lot of lessons here that we've, as natives, have kind of lost, you know, they've just been taken away from us due to boarding schools and everything else. Stuff, luckily, we never had experience in my lifetime, in your lifetime, Sam, but, you know, my grandparents went, my great-grandparents went, I'm sure yours was the same. But here lies a lesson for us today. This comes from Mishomas, page 61. We must begin very early if our children, instructing them in these teachings. Children are born with a fully developed sense and are aware of what is happening around them. They can even communicate with the spirit world. Most of us are human beings are so far removed from the spirit world that we cannot tell what an infant is saying. Let us learn from the same grandfathers the importance of giving our young children the teachings they'll need to guide them in their later lives. And basically, the way it goes is the creator, they're trying to find someone that was pure to help the people out because they were sick at the time. Disease took many lives, kind of like what it's doing now with COVID-19. And Wino Bozo was trying to help, and this creator sent a helper called Oshkebewisht to Earth to find someone that could do it. And the only thing that was pure enough was
was a baby fresh in the womb. So they went to a village and they found a baby that just was barely born. And eyes still closed. And it was, this baby was going to be the one that was going to help save the world in a sense. But when they brought it to the seven grandfathers for the teachings, the baby is still so young and weak that they said if the baby looked at us, it'd perish. Kind of reminds you also of the same story with the seven fires. Do you have any thoughts on that, Sam?
It kind of gives you the impression that whenever a human can't deal with one of the seven grandfathers, they just, like, give them the look of death. But I saw where they had kind of speculated that that seventh gift was to be able to see into the future. And if a baby could look into the face of those seven grandfathers and see the future, well, it might just kill him right there. Maybe to be that young and pure and be able to see all the way into the future and what all that holds. That's just my guess. I don't know. I hadn't thought about it. It's good. It's a good comparison to draw, though, man.
That's it for today. We'll be back next week with a couple more episodes. I think we're going to be trying to maybe do two a week, just depending on how deep we're going. Still trying to get our time frame figured out, so please bear with us. This one's a little bit longer than the first one. You can follow us on Twitter, @MinoNikon. You can email us at ahominonikon@gmail.com, which is ahominonikan at gmail. You can find us on Twitter at @MinoNikan. Also, feel free to go to the link. Like I said, we're not beggars. If you want to help get this show even further going, you know what to do. Until then, we'll see you next week. Nah, man, they're just all on drugs, right? No, but they were just went through a different form of oppression. A lot of artists did back then. So I'd almost argue that they're just seeing things in a different perspective that they thought would happen, hoping to happen. It never does happen. And now we're seeing it and we're like, man, we wish that would have happened, but it never did happen. So only if it happens, then the revolution will be televised. So I was going to put the Black Elk on the next episode. And what else do we want to talk about? You want to switch over to frequencies or something? Just kind of change it up for a moment.